Thank you for tuning in to Ask the Pharmacist with Joe DiMatteo. Joe is a pharmacist, naturopath, and board certified in clinical nutrition. We are here to impact your health and change your life. My name is Joe DiMatteo Jr., and it is my honor to introduce my father, Dr. Joe DiMatteo.
Well, we're here for another day. I hope you're here for another day. Oh, boy, I tell you, we got some good stuff to talk about today, and I think I'm more fired up about the little mini message that we try to give you every single day. You've joined the Ask the Pharmacist broadcast. Joe DiMatteo live in studio with you. And why am I excited about it? You know, I just started doing a little bit of research on the importance of believing God, the importance of understanding what His Word means to us, the importance of the application of God's Word to our lives. And it's just exciting, man. I tell you what, Psalm 119:19 says, "I am a stranger on earth," said David. It's believed that it might have been Ezra the priest. Excuse me, this one wasn't authored by David. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. Do not hide your commands. You know, if anything, God doesn't hide His commands. He reveals His commands to you and I. And we have a number of examples today as we go through this about the encouragement, first of all, that you and I should have about believing God. About taking Him at His word, Genesis, Exodus. We're going to go into 2 Chronicles and the importance not only of just taking His word, but about when we believe God, what it does to our lives. Can it change a life? And I think, you know, you might say, well, that's obvious. I would believe. I mean, do you really know that? I mean, do you believe that? Do you understand that? What does the Bible have to say about that? Change lives. What did the Bible do? What did, you know, kings in the Old Testament do when they believed that their people were not literate in the Word of God and the things of God? See, just because you're a believer does not imply or make you perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We're fallible just as the next guy. The difference is, as the Word of God illumines our lives, see, it continues to draw you back to the middle. It draws you back to the center. It draws you back to Him. And when you might want to step out of bounds and step out of line and get into mischief and get into things that you ought not to get into, or areas of your lives that you need to learn to submit, that I need to learn to submit to Him. See, the more we're around and in the Word of God, you're much, much more willing. You're much more submitted to do so. And when we don't, when we refuse that, what happens? And I'm going to read you this. I'll just give you this one quick scripture, and we're going to go on, and then we will come back to some of the basic messages that I have in studio here today. The number is 800-281-8255. And verses in Exodus, and I thought I had this here, Exodus 9:12, and it says, "So they took from the furnace, soot from the furnace, they stood before Pharaoh, and they tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on all the people and all the animals." This is when God was telling Pharaoh, through Moses, to let His people go. And Pharaoh refused to believe that it was God speaking to him through Moses. And what happens when we refuse? The New Testament even tells us that eventually those of reprobate minds that absolutely refuse to hear anything about the Word of God, refuse correction, God turns them over to what? To their own ways. And we know that evil influences that, and certainly, but you still have a free will and a free choice. So they took this soot from the furnace, just as God had directed them. They tossed it in the air and boils break out on all the people and all the animals of Egypt. Now, there had been multiple plagues already, and there's more coming. There was a plague of flies. There was a plague on the livestock. Now there was the plague of boils, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were even on Pharaoh's, quote, magicians. And it says, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. See, when we refuse to take heed to the word of God, usually our hearts naturally become hardened to further instruction from the word of God. 800-281-8255. Joan writes and says, hey, I'm 52 years old. I have an inflammation. I'm taking Omega XL, turmeric. I mean, I assume she wants to say turmeric, hyaluronic acid, both of which I like. I take pregnenolone from Dr. Helen. I'm not sure who that is. But my knees hurt, my hips hurt, my muscles. And they gave me Lyrica. But it makes me high. But it makes me high, said Joan. This is a little bit older of an email, but I'm trying to get through as many as I can. It says I swell up. I can't work. I can't get things done at work. What do you think I should take? Well, first of all, I'm not familiar with the Omega XL. I'm not real sure what that is, but here's the key thing. They have to be good forms of omegas, right? I mean, they have to be quality forms. So it could be, you know, whatever omega, but are the forms quality? She's using hyaluronic acid. I kind of like that. And she's using some pregnenolone. I'm big on pregnenolone. That's a precursor to the adrenals, precursor to cortisol production. She says, but my hips hurt, my knees, they even put me on Lyrica, but it makes me high and I'm swelling up from it. I just can't figure out what's going on. So why don't we start her, first of all, she doesn't tell me anything about her diet and her lifestyle, so I would start there. If there's significant inflammation, has she had a vitamin D level done? I would probably put her on the SPMs, those specialized pro-resolvin mediators. They should be on the website. Take a look at them. This is all about balancing the immune system, reducing the inflammatory response in the immune system more specifically. And see, as you do that, see, inflammation is actually the immune system's result to injury, trauma, virus, infection, bacterial, poor dietary patterns, or maybe a little bit of all the above. And we have to understand that inflammation in the acute phase is a God-given, natural, normal, protective response. The only problem is over time, if it is not resolved, it leads to chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation then leads to some of the things maybe as you're seeing in Helen's life. So not only does Joan need to be on high doses of the omegas, I would probably as well put her on these SPMs at 2 a day. Why? Because they are resolvin mediators. They are the same compounds that the body secretes to try to, like the word, right? Resolve the acute immune response. Remember, I taught you years ago that the immune system is involved in repair. Well, that's part of this message. And indirectly then, you can help to indirectly have an impact on the inflammatory response of the body. I might even put this gal on the collagen advanced essentials too, because it looks like she's done good things. We don't know what the quality of that is, and it doesn't seem like it's gotten her very far. So she has numerous options. Let's make sure we explore them. I've had trouble sleeping for 35 years. One more email and I'm going to the phones. Tim and Rick and Jane, we're going to get right to you. Dear Joe, I've had trouble sleeping 35 years. 35. Unbelievable. That's a lifetime. I take Lortabs. That's an old-time drug that's hydrocodone. And I take temazepam for sleep, obviously. I can sleep 4 to 5 hours. But no sleep without the drugs. None. This guy says, nada, nothing. No sleep if I don't take the drugs. Do you have any suggestions? I'm 66 years old. I'm a Vietnam vet from the Vietnam era. I spent 2 years in the Philippines. I go to the VA, but all they do is give me more temazepam. What I would believe here for Richard, probably eventually what has to happen, he's got to try to do a urinary neurotransmitter test. Let's just see what's going on. At that point in time, I would really try to enhance his GABA activity in his brain. We might even use the ultracavanase PM, higher potency type preps. There has to be a reason for why this gentleman is not sleeping. Does he have too much cortisol being produced? That could certainly be a problem. Could his stimulatory neurotransmitters be off the chart? That obviously has to be a problem. So I think we have a couple of options for him, as we do for most of you. I certainly don't know what all of your answers are. I don't know what all my answers are. But what I bring to you every day are options that you can begin to integrate with sanity, with reasonability, with integrity, approaches to just taking better care of yourself, right? All right, let's get to the phones quickly. Let's go Tim in Pennsylvania, and he has a question for me. I'm not sure here. Tim, you're on. How can I help you?
Yeah, hello, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling you to find out what you might know about the machine called the Beamer machine. It's the electronic magnetic pulse, a mat that you lay on. There's other brands of it out there too, but you lay on this mat and it sends waves into your body and supposedly gets your blood flowing, and then your blood flowing gets the capillaries of your the smaller blood veins in your body. Supposedly for some vasopumpers there that slows down when we get older and those smaller veins don't get the blood flow. So this thing gets blood flow going into the capillaries and removes inflammation. But it's called Beamer.
Beamer.
B-E-M-E-R.
All right. And what are they called again? An electrode? What type of unit again?
It's like electronic magnetic pulse, but it just sends waves of...
Yeah.
Waves in your body.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that for me to comment on it. It wouldn't be fair. There was some information we talked about way back with EECP or ECP with a type of a unit where it literally was not this type of thing. It was pretty amazing. It was like big blood pressure cuffs, so to speak, put on your arms, or excuse me, on your thighs, your legs, your upper extremities, and literally what it did, it counter pulsed to your heart. Now that one was documented, and it does. These units are amazing. We just don't have the physical size we wanted to put in our office, but they actually increase, without question, increase capillary activity. They increase blood flow to those areas. I just don't know that I know enough about this one to know if a kind of a magnetic pulse could do it. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I just don't know enough about it or would be comfortable in commenting, unfortunately. All right?
And what's the thing you're talking about with a cup? So what's it called? And it's something I can look up and maybe even check into on my own.
Sure, absolutely. It is called EECP. And what it is that it actually is a piece of equipment that acts like they're like big blood pressure cuffs, and they hook you up basically, and a counter pulses, if you will, what the heart is doing. And so what it does is you kind of get an enhanced perfusion or blood flow to the rest of your body. To me, it's amazing. It can help folks that are in heart failure, folks that have diminished blood flow to their extremities. I even see literature reports even helping men with erectile dysfunction issues, because what it is doing is literally enhancing blood flow mechanically, structurally. So it's almost as though you were in getting a super workout of running or long distance swimming or long distance running. It's amazing. So you can find units. It's called ECP or EECP.
Is that something I can buy, you think, if I find it?
I don't know if it's something that you can buy. They're too expensive units. I think you have to find somewhere, someone that does it, has it in their office. It's called enhanced external counter pulsation, enhanced external counterpulsation. It's an amazing concept. Okay. All right?
Okay, well, right. I'll check that out first, but I've been looking at the Beamer. So,
exactly. This one absolutely, I mean, I can tell you has been seen. There are a number of cardiologists around the country that use it and recommend it. It's pretty fascinating. It's simple, nothing sophisticated, but it works. All right? God bless you, Tim. Have a great day. You too. All right, let's go next to Jane up in Michigan. Jane, you're on. How can I help you?
Hi, Dr. Joe. I'm calling about fluid in the behind the eardrum.
Okay.
And it's on the eye.
What is it on? What on the eye?
Skin inflammation. I don't know. I wonder if it's coming from my gut because I was on antibiotics years ago. But I've been taking probiotics twice a day, and I did slough off for a few days and didn't get to have
any. Fluid, if there's fluid in the inner ear behind the eardrum, I mean, there are some fundamental things that you can do. You can do literally almost like an ear massage where you literally take your thumb or your forefinger and you literally massage kind of from the back of the ear down along the throat, 3-4 inches downward in a vertical manner. You have to apply pressure right behind your ear, behind your jawbone. Literally what that does is it kind of opens up the eustachian tube. So that's kind of an old time, even chiropractic, massage therapy to try to loosen and break up the fluid and move the fluid from the inner ear. The other option would be you have no choice in many cases. A lot of times physicians will put you on steroids. I don't know that I would go that far. Have you tried even an over-the-counter antihistamine like cetirizine, like an over-the-counter Zyrtec, like a second-generation antihistamine? Even if you did that for a week to 10 days to see if you can dry up a little bit of the excess mucus and excess fluid, I don't think that's the end of the world. That would be worth doing that. If you do dairy, I'd get off dairy because dairy is allergen or mucus-producing.
Goat milk.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. It's not nearly as allergen inducing. So I would do kind of that, you know, eustachian tube ear quote massage, if you will, to drain the ear. I would get on the over-the-counter cetirizine. It's 10 milligrams once a day for maybe 14 days. See if you can dry some of that up.
Okay.
All right, Jay.
Okay, great. And then
go ahead.
It comes back. And do it again. And what about the rash around the eye?
Rash around the eye. Now, what are you talking about? On your eyelid?
No. Yes. It's underneath my eyelid and sometimes on the outer edge of the eyelid.
Boy, I'm not real sure. Well, I mean, sometimes, like, on the eyelid itself, there's something known as blepharitis, which is a kind of a low-grade bacterial inflammation aggravation to the eye, like right where the kind of where your eyelashes emanate from. So that quarter of an inch or eighth of an inch band right around there is highly susceptible. And there's not a whole lot that folks can do about that. So where is that where you're talking about?
No, it can be, it goes under the eye also, like a half an inch.
Wow.
And then to where the skin.
Have you seen an eye doctor to at least look at that to make sure there's not something else going on here?
I saw the eye doctor, and he gives me a steroid cream.
Okay.
It does get rid of it.
Okay.
But I'm wondering about the side effects because it talked about the cornea. It can hurt your cornea.
Yeah, well, sure. Steroids, yeah, long term. So that's ultimately not the long term answer. I'm not real sure what underlies that. I'm not sure what the underpinning is, but they didn't feel there was any infectious process though, right?
No, right.
Okay.
But when I went to a dermatologist a couple years ago, contact dermatitis, but I don't use any makeups or anything because I can't use them.
Well, yeah, I mean, in contact dermatitis, is simply mean I get a skin reaction from something that I'm putting on or I come in contact with. If you're not using eyeliners and eye preps, then that's not seemingly all that likely. I can just tell you that folks are just much more susceptible often to dermatitises and so on and eczemas right in and around the eye area, the eyelids, very sensitive tissue. I would say to you, if you could, just hold on one second, if you could just use that cortisone cream, so to speak, and just kind of use a Q-tip and swab more the outer, you know, your lids and so on, this way you're not getting it right in the eye. That's always an option, too.
Okay.
All right, Jane.
And,
all right, I got to go. I got to go. 800-281-8255. Rick, we'll get to you in a few minutes. Let me go on. I have a couple of tons of emails here that I want to get to. What is the difference between Adrenal Essentials and Adrenal Essentials Plus, and what do they do for me? That's a good question. Ginger writes, well, number one, the Adrenal Essentials have two basic adaptogenic herbs that help and are documented to help kind of be, act as a buoyant or have a buoyancy to your adrenals. So our adrenal glands help us to get through stressful periods, help to give us energy early in the day when we need it, help to carry us through often stressful times during the course of the day. And often our adrenals, though, become weakened over the course of time. Why? Continual, long-term, unbridled stress. It goes on and on, whatever the issues are for you. So something like the Adrenal Essentials is a very gentle entry point at helping to balance the adrenals. I use them. If you're under a lot of stress, you should consider using them. They help your adrenals adapt. The Adrenal Essentials Plus is that exactly. Plus, it has some of those core ingredients that are in Magnolia, Ziziphus, Rhodiola that are in the adrenals, but the Plus then has licorice, has pantothenic acid, has a little bit of the bees. So it has, in particular, high doses of pantothenic acid, Siberian ginseng, and then also the licorice. So licorice, pantothenic acid, and Siberian that give an additional boost to someone that is just very tired, very fatigued. They're just blown out. They just don't have juice. They just don't need help with stress during the course of the day. They are physically kind of debilitated. Adrenal Essentials Plus. You have the Adrenal Essentials, then the Plus is an essence. You're blown out. You just don't have get up and go. I would give that a shot if you're still experiencing difficulties. You need to call the off-air 888 number and have Terry, my assistant, get you out one of the kits, the adrenal urine test, and let's see if there's something more specific going on. That off-air number, 888-865-9595. 888-865-9595. As we go into this break, why is it important that we believe the Word of God? Well, back in the book of Genesis, in chapter 15, we see that it was accounted unto Abram as righteousness. It says, then the Lord of the Word came to him, and this man, not be your heir, says, but a son who is your own flesh and blood. And he took him outside and said, look up to the sky, count the stars, and if indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited him as righteousness. There are points and times in our life where we just need to believe God and that He is who He says He is. We already talked about Exodus 9:15, when a man or a woman choose not to believe God, to not believe Him. And we see that Pharaoh had his heart hardened. And when we come back, we'll talk about in 2 Chronicles how Jehoshaphat, after the reign of Asa, where it was a godless, in essence, non-God-believing society, and how he teaches them the word, and it changes people. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We get many people that have not gotten well with traditional medicine. For nurse practitioner Joyce Gibb, specialist in functional integrative medicine, good health is often a gut-level decision.
Yeah, about 70 to 85% of your immune system's in the gut. As a child, your thymus gland is actually your immune system, and babies are born with hardly any flora or minimal amounts. And through exposure to dirt, things they suck on, their mom's antibodies they get from breast milk, gradually just builds up over time. Always start with the gut. When you have somebody has an illness, the normal bacterial balance that's supposed to be there is typically not there. They could have yeast overgrowth, parasites. They could have just an imbalance of bacteria. And many times that's just evaluated by history, or we can do further testing that they can do at home. We look at a systems-based approach. So you have your immune system, your GI, hormones, energy, cardiometabolic, and all those systems work together.
Call for a consultation today. 888-865-9595.
One of our biggest threats to our health and well-being can also be one of the simplest to address. I'm talking about stress. Here on Ask the Pharmacist, in addition to all the nutritional support we give your body, you'll also hear us talk a lot about the one who made it. As we deeply think about the character and goodness of God, as we release our cares to Him in prayer, it's amazing how even our greatest concerns are put into the proper perspective. It's help that's free of charge and comes without a prescription. Learn more at AskJoeD.com.
The health of your family is one of the most important factors in your life. You plan it into your budget, make annual checkups, and pray for a happy and healthy home. Joe DiMatteo from Ask the Pharmacist knows how valuable vital health and spiritual well-being is to you. That's why he hosts a daily call-in show dedicated to helping you achieve greater physical and spiritual health. Trying to keep you and your family healthy can be frustrating. As a certified pharmacist, clinical nutritionist, and naturopathic doctor, Joe specializes in bridging the gap between conventional and alternative medicines. Joe examines the most recent headlines and scientific breakthroughs to educate you on what is hype and what is really important. By providing daily insight into health news and natural alternatives, Joe DiMatteo strives to bring your health into a spiritual focus. He begins each show with prayer and reflection, asking for good health and happiness for you and their listeners all across America. Tune in, listen, learn, and live healthy with Ask the Pharmacist.
Considering a probiotic? Just remember that what's on the bottle isn't necessarily what's in it. This is Joe DiMatteo, and like you, my family's health is extremely important to me, and I won't give them just anything. Many probiotics are not shelf-stable. They deteriorate in the warehouse and in shipping, so what's on the box is no longer in the product by the time it gets to you. That's why I develop Probiotic Essentials, so I can rest assured my family is getting the full dose of high-quality strains their bodies need. In fact, we regularly send our probiotic essentials from our store shelves to an independent lab to verify the quality and potency of our product. Yeah, we're a little crazy about quality control, but you know what? That's okay with me. Knowing that your family and mine are getting nothing but the highest quality probiotics possible makes it the kind of crazy I can live with. Learn more about our probiotic essentials as well as other supplements at AskJoeD.com. The health of your family is one of the most important factors in your life. You plan it into your budget, you make annual checkups, you pray for a happy and healthy home. Here on the Ask the Pharmacist show, I know how valuable vital health and spiritual well-being is to you. As a registered pharmacist, board-certified clinical nutritionist, and naturopath, it's my goal to help bridge the gap between conventional and alternative naturopathic medicine. Every day, I'm here to discuss the most recent headlines, scientific breakthroughs to educate you on what is most important or hype. By providing daily insight into health news and natural alternatives, I strive to bring your health into a spiritual focus with a firm reliance on God and the promises found in His Word. It's my prayer for you and listeners all across America that you enjoy good health and happiness each and every day. Stay tuned, listen, learn, and live healthy. This is Joe DiMatteo. Ask the Pharmacist continues in a moment.
One of our biggest threats to our health and well-being can also be one of the simplest to address. I'm talking about stress. Here on Ask the Pharmacist, in addition to all the nutritional support we give your body, you'll also hear us talk a lot about the one who made it. As we deeply think about the character and goodness of God, as we release our cares to Him in prayer, it's amazing how even our greatest concerns are put into the proper perspective. It's help that's free of charge and comes without a prescription. Learn more at AskJoeD.com.
Welcome back to America's Health Talk Hour. This is Joe DiMatteo of the Ask the Pharmacist broadcast. If you're just joining us, you can reach us toll-free at 877-655-6755. That's toll-free, 877-655-6755, or at AskJoeDiMatteo.com. Let's get back to talking your health.
All right. Welcome back, and thanks for being with us. Before we go back to the phones, effects of aging on gastritis, or gastric acid secretion. So what is this article? Well, I'll kind of, this goes in, goes back to some of the information we discussed last week. Acid blocking drugs, PPIs, you know, this onslaught of the use of these acid blocking types of medications. And certainly the healthcare community sees no problem with this basically whatsoever. And it's stunning to me. So going back for probably the last 10 years at a minimum, more than that, probably 13 or 14, I've talked about the pitfalls of using acid blocking drugs and how for many, not even a few, but for many folks, that you could eventually get off of them if you changed your diet, your lifestyle, you manage the situation. So one of the arguments for years has been, well, we just produce too much acid, therefore we need these drugs. Well, I'm not buying it. That's not necessarily the case in the bulk of the situations. Poor digestion is one of them, but I don't want to go into that whole, I'm just giving you a little bit of a primer, but I don't want to get into all of that nitty gritty. I've talked about that for many a year. I just pulled some literature 2 weekends ago, just some research on acid secretion and digestive disturbances and some old time remedies, and then obviously downsides of PPIs. Well, this one is in the Journal of Gastroenterology in 1996. And this was attempting to study one of the arguments that says, well, as we age, you know, as we get older, you just don't make as much hydrochloric acid and pepsin, and therefore that's why as you age, you need some type of acid blocking drug because you're just going to get heartburn because you get older. Well, this study doesn't support that at all, actually. And again, can't give you all the details. There's way too much. They did a couple hundred Americans. They did gastric acid secretion measurements. And they basically said, look, if you take everything into account, advancing age has no independent effect on gastric acid secretion. It is associated, though, with a little bit of a reduction in pepsin output independent of gastritis or H. pylori and smoking. So there's a little bit of a drop in pepsin, but straight hydrochloric acid. Now, this was actually done in individuals up to 98 years of age. So here, my point is, the theory is that just because you're 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 doesn't necessarily mean that now all of a sudden your pancreas and your area that you secrete hydrochloric acid from in your stomach has gone on the fritz. Well, you know, last week we talked about that acid blocking drugs increase the heart attack risk, right? Because it diminishes one of the ingredients, if you will, that you're kind of a combination of things that your lining of your blood vessels secrete in order to keep your blood vessels open. So one of these protein factors that your body needs to secrete to keep your blood vessels relaxed and open and dilated, guess what undermines it? The acid blocking PPI drugs. Hence, you are at an increased risk for heart attack, conclusions consistent. This was published, I'm looking for it here, on the PLOS-1 journal, which is a scientific medical research summary. And it was done at the University of Louisville. And it says our summary here is that PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, adversely affect vascular function. Our data mining study supports the association of PPI, purple pill exposure, with risk for MI, heart attack, and the general population, not even necessarily individuals that have pre-existing heart disease, okay? So this is just in a general population. These data provide an example of how you can actually mine information right from within current studies and pull out data that is helpful. The other one is the risk and benefits. This one we did talk about, Annals of Family Medicine 2011, and saying, look, they even admit it. Look, you know, everybody's on an acid-blocking drug. And we've got to weigh out this research piece that goes out to physicians saying, who's a high risk? I mean, who really needs to be on these? And is it possible that we have a lot of people on these that don't need to be on them? We need to wean them off. That was the summary of that article. So we're going to go to the phones. Then when I come back, I'm going to, you know, tip. I've talked to you often about tips for digestion. Smaller meals. Don't eat as much at a meal. Watch the trigger foods. Tomato sauces, orange juice, caffeine, chocolate. You have to chew your food well. Don't swallow food whole. Use quality probiotics. Probiotics can help in as a part of the digestive process. Use quality digestive enzymes. Don't drink a lot of your fluids with meals. Drink them, the fluids, between meals, not right with your meals, because it dilutes your digestive enzyme capacity. So there's some, you know, 8 or 9 tips that we use, that Joyce and I use, as far as supporting basic digestion. And none of them include suppressing natural body functioning as part of the digestive process. And so what I did was I just pulled some, one of them is pretty recent, but there are a couple that are old. One goes back to 2008, one's back to earlier 2000, one's 2008 again. And basically it just says, geez, if people just kind of even just changed their diet, got off of a lot of carbs, got off of a lot of wheat, ate more Mediterranean, maybe even more paleo. I'm not a big paleo fan, but this is just for point of discussion. I'm not claiming that Mediterranean diet or paleo diet is a cure for reflux and heartburn. The premise is these drugs are way overused. You're at much higher risk for low B12, hip fractures, increasing rates of bacterial infections, pneumonia, H. pylori infection, C. diff, Clostridia difficile, let alone low magnesium. I mean, the list just goes on. Okay? And I believe we're going to find out more things long term. So it often comes to, maybe not 100% of the time, I'd say 80%+ of the time, with comfort, that for a lot of folks, it's a matter of lifestyle, dietary changes. And I'll give you, and I just pulled these articles again, not that they're my themes on this as to how to reduce it, but you'll just see that when people change their diet to more of a whole foods diet, a lot of their symptoms remitted. Let's go to the phone. Let's go to Rick up in Minnesota. Rick, you're on. How can I help you today?
Hey, Joe, how you doing? Been a little while.
I'm well, yes. I haven't heard from you. I'm doing very well. Hopefully you the same.
Well, I think it's my turn now. Here's what the situation is. I think I pulled the disc in my back, and it got better. Then I kind of think I retweaked it, and I just have really that bad sciatic nerve down my right leg that's just has the bizarre pains and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they gave me gabapentin, they gave me Flextrol. I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that, and I was going to tell you what supplements that I've used in the years. and see if I'm on the right track.
Well, I can relate because I've definitely had low back problems myself for, you know, probably getting close to a year now myself. And I really try to manage it through a number of different lifestyle issues. And I'm probably going to encourage you to do the same. And sciatica type discomfort, if you've been seen medically and they can't, you got a bulging disc, but you're not, you know, you don't have nerve damage per se. There's usually just a lot of inflammation. So gabapentin, now understand what gabapentin is going to do. It's going to slow down the transmission of nerve pain. So it's certainly not curative. It just reduces the rate at which conduction is going to take place. So, you know, it might help you functionally, but it's not doing anything for the underlying issue that you're battling, which is a bulging disc, which is compressing the nerve at the outlet. So Flexeril could be helpful for you, at least if you use it at bedtime, because Flexeril's it's a muscle relaxant. And a lot of times with lower back issues, often many times, folks that have low back issues, as part of the body's protective mechanism, there's a tremendous tightening and spasming that takes place in the musculature. It's just compensatory. It's the body trying to protect itself, reduce your movement, so you lock up. So what I would say to you, that they can be temporary fixes, certainly they're not the answers long term. Gabapentin slows down signaling of pain, basically. Flexeril is going to relax the muscles, which is a good thing. I would recommend that you do some significant stretching. I do it daily.
I'm doing that.
That's critical. That may not be the whole answer, but sometimes it's a combination of things. Secondly, I would make sure, and I've just started to do this more myself, work on your core, strengthening your core, but no straight leg exercises where you kind of expose your lower back. It should all be more isometric core strengthening exercises. But I believe stretching regularly and strengthening the core are probably your two best ABC approaches. That's more of a physical therapy chiropractic thing than it is my thing.
Right.
And then you got to do some. So I do tons of Mareva. I do the turmeric extracts. I do some Wobenzymes. So what else? What do you have there? What are you using?
Yeah, I was doing. I got to get some more of them. I was doing proteolytic enzymes, but I know I read about inflammation really irritates the sciatic nerve.
Yes.
The other stuff I'm just going to hear is acetyl-L-carnitine, because I remember you said that it can help repair nerve damage, even though it takes a long time.
Right.
I'm also doing Inflamove and joint essentials and omegas and drinking lots of water.
Sound like me. I mean, that's basically, I have Inflamove in my drawer here. You have to. And I feel like even if you're not quite getting the results, you have to be more persistent than it is. And I know what even happens to me at times. I'm fine for long periods of time. And then boom, you do something that kind of re-aggravates it. The other thing I'd say to you, but more, and then I'm going to have to go, but more sciatic type discomfort. You know, obviously you've got that bulging disc, you've got that compression and so on, but also a lot of times just alkalinizing, believe it or not, the diet is helpful because there's a lot of acidity or acidic type components that are associated with that chronic inflammation of that nerve. Because in many cases, folks actually, their back actually improves, the bulge or whatever improves, but once now the trigger has gone off, the inflammation doesn't quiet down. That's why you've got to really do what you're doing. And are you doing some chiropractic? Or are you seeing a chiropractor? What are you doing there?
Yeah, I did. I only seen her twice, and it was somebody that just, you know, it was recommended. So it was somebody just go in, and the guy cranked on you to see the next 20 times. She took her time and stuff and realized it was my L3 and L4.
Okay.
And she said that it probably wasn't a herniated disc because she goes, she'd be in serious pain and it wouldn't be going away if it was herniated. She goes, it's probably just bulging. So, you know, just, you know, manage it, stuff like that. And, you know, be careful. And then, like I said, if they give me that stuff, I got a tape on sciatica to do to learn what stretches to do for that, and then taking your stuff. And I thought,
I think they're all going to kill me off. No, it's not going to kill you off. I mean, the gabapentin will eventually put some stress and workload on the liver and make you groggy, but it's not going to kill you. Just that it's a pretty tough drug. Rick, good to hear from you. I hope you get some relief. Be well.
All right. Good
All right, brother.
To you, Joe.
Thanks. You as well. Let's go to Ryan in California. Ryan, you're on. How can I help you today?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I have a question. I have a 6-year-old son, and we noticed about 3 years ago a little thing behind his earlobe, and the doctors have said it's just a collection of blood. They said if it's not growing, there's not an issue, nor if there's no pain, it shouldn't be an issue as well. And we have talked about surgery, and they said that if we do surgery, there's a chance for it to grow back. Just want to get your opinion on, the steps I should take.
Wow. I'm not real sure what steps I would take. So they don't think it's something like a hemangioma or anything like that, right? Where there's just, they didn't use that word, right?
No, they didn't.
Okay. Behind the earlobe, right? Behind the ear?
Yeah.
Or is it, okay, is it on the ear itself, or is it kind of in more in the tissue on his neck?
It's more on the tissue on his neck, but it's more like behind his earlobe.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to even say. I'm not even sure. I don't know that there's anything even naturally that you could even do. I can't think of anything because, you have to kind of have an understanding as to what could be at the root of it. It sounds like it's an exaggerated blood supply, kind of crosswires. There's excessive blood supply and flow to that area, and it's never like really cleared itself. If it hasn't grown, I would certainly. How large would you say it is?
I would say less than half an inch in width and diameter.
Okay. That's fairly significant, but still, if it hasn't grown, I guess my thoughts are I kind of would go with what they said. You just let it go. Obviously, it's nothing that's serious. And if you do surgery, they're probably saying that we don't know what's at the cause of it, and it just comes back. But usually, a lot of times, it's usually a blood flow issue to that area, and it could just be some defective capillary areas, and blood has just collected and is not cleared. But obviously, if you guys would just feel that over a period of time you just want to try to get rid of it, you think about surgery, and hopefully it just doesn't come back. But I have no idea what else to tell you to do on there, though.
All right,
Ryan. Thank you so much for your call. Quickly to Bill up in Wisconsin. Bill, you're on.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Well, thank you.
Good. Hey, this Thursday I'm going to be getting a CT scan, and they're going to give me some type of dye.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there's anything I take or do anything to help, clear that out. Or I do react to it. I get hives from it, so they're giving me prednisone and Benadryl before the procedure.
Okay. I would say to you there's two things. One, when you do a contrast, that contrast medium is what we call like a radioactive isotope, or it's an opaque isotope that you tag. They tag these compounds that is going to travel throughout the body, so that then it'll illuminate and you'll be able to see a contrast to certain tissues. So in order to do that, it's a dye. I mean, I don't know, and there's no other way to explain it. It's a dye. And unfortunately, that dye is pretty, I wouldn't say it's pretty well cleared out of the body in a few days, but it's kind of really makes your kidneys work. So we always recommend that folks do NAC 600, and we have selenomethionine in there along with the N-acetylcysteine. But that NAC, we recommend folks do 2 twice a day, about 30 minutes before breakfast and dinner, plenty of water. If you can, a couple days before, day of, and then maybe a week to 10 days after. So I always try to get folks to do it in advance a little bit, the day of, and then a little period of time after. Okay. The other thing I would do, I would use even like a resveratrol plus. I mean, trans resveratrol has been shown to reduce some of the radiation-induced type of trauma to your chromosomes. So one thing about CTs, folks just think, CTs, you know, it's like a more potent X-ray. Well, it's a lot more potent of an X-ray. It's intensified. It's an X-ray basically on steroids. So I often recommend folks to even also use the trans resveratrol so that you reduce some of the potential damage that comes from CT scans, period. So I think it's twofold, trans resveratrol or resveratrol plus and the NAC 600 two twice a day.
Okay, real good.
All right. God bless you. Thanks for your call. Folks, off-air number 888-865-9595. Take a look at our health concern section that's been done. It's on the website. You've got those live stream archives. Go back and learn what may be conditions that you're dealing with, how you can help. We're going to be doing a new series of them starting soon, shorter, quippier, more to the point. Maybe narrower subjects, okay? That's right around the bend for us. So quickly, as I said earlier, this whole reflux situation. So guess what? They put children, 2015, Pediatric Journal International. So here's what we did with kids with food allergies that had refractory gastroesophageal reflux. We continued to test them for food allergies, got them off the foods that were triggering, and there's evidence that cow's milk allergy often observed frequently when folks, children, have consistent GERD and heartburn. How about Alternative Med Review says, just put folks on enzymes. They're documented to be helpful. That's why we like our digestive essentials. 2008, Alternative Med Review did a study on a group of patients and found, believe it or not, that 3 milligrams of melatonin at night was very, very helpful with continuous ongoing gastroesophageal reflux. We got more to talk about here in the last two areas tomorrow. Just lifestyle changes, things that we talked about, changing your diet, chewing your food, more of a whole foods diet, more plant-based foods. We have more to cover tomorrow. It doesn't always have to be that it has to be a medicine to suppress that situation. Hey, as we started the program today, why? Why is it important for me to believe God? Why is it important for me to believe in the Son of God, Jesus? Why is it important for me to read the Bible? I gave you a couple of descriptions about Abraham and what God spoke to Pharaoh through Moses about his hardened heart. And let me just read to you. I'm only going to be able to get to this one today. 2 Chronicles 17. Why it is important for us, you and I, as believers, to read the Word of God. Why is it important for those that don't believe in God that they do? Listen to this. Jehoshaphat, his son, succeeded Asa, King Asa, and strengthened himself against Israel. He stationed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and garrisons around Judah. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him. He didn't consult Baals, which was false gods. He sought the God of his father and followed the commands rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all of Judah brought him gifts. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places, places of false worship, and the Asherah poles from Judah. In the third year of his reign, he sent officials to Ben-Halal and Obadiah and Zechariah, and all it goes all through this. And I'm going to move forward. It says, and they taught throughout Judah. Now watch this. They taught throughout Judah. Taking with them the book of the law of the Lord, they went all around the towns of Judah and they taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell on the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah so that they no longer warred against Jehoshaphat. Some Philistines even brought Jehoshaphat gifts as a tribute, and the Arabs brought him flocks. Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful. He built forts, stored cities in Judah, and built up large supplies. in essence, as he took the word of God to the people and taught them, he sent men and leaders out to teach people the word of God, and it changed their hearts, it changed their lives, it changed their day-to-day ability to live. We need that like never before in the United States of America, big time. I'm coming back to this and talking about it tomorrow. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow at 3.
You only want what's best for your family. You understand that you might only be able to save a few dollars by buying generic paper towels, but you stick to the brand names when it comes down to what's really important. Take omega-3 fish oil, for example. You can buy 500 soft gels for less than $20 at many big box stores, but you know that if you do, you'll be tasting fish all day, and you won't be getting close to the strength your body needs to see any real results. And how can you really be sure that the heavy metal toxins have been removed? Where's the bargain? The Essentials brand, Omega-3 800, is molecularly distilled for purity, has a great lemon taste, and is ultra-concentrated so that you can take fewer soft gels and feel results. Joe DiMatteo from Ask the Pharmacist designed Omega-3 800s to be the premier fish oil supplement on the market today. Visit www.askjoedimatteo.com or call 877-275-7743 for more information on Omega-3 800s and why they're the smart choice for you and your family.